Well, good morning, and I too would like to welcome all of our guests today. We're so glad that you have chosen to be here, and we are thankful for you. Someone might ask, well, what's a Leaders and Protectors Weekend anyway? We invited people to come from, you know, all the different branches of safety and security and our political representatives. So what is a Protectors and Leaders Weekend? Let me say to those of you who have come, into all of us, in a nutshell, first of all, we are thankful for you. We believe that God calls us to respect and honor you. We believe that you are not in your position by accident, but that God chose you and placed you there. And we also believe that God has called us to support you and to pray for you. And so we want to make that clear. We don't do that enough. And so that is right at the core of what we're doing today. I also want to say that there were many who wanted to be here whose scheduling didn't allow, and they did send their regrets and greetings. Well, if you would like to turn in the Bible in front of you, in the Pew Bible, or just follow along, you can do that too, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's on page 1193, I believe, in the Pew Bible in front of you. And we're continuing in our series called How to Pray. It's a 5-week series where this is the third week, and we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, but this week we're taking a diversion. We're going to move away from the Lord's Prayer and just spend a couple of minutes looking at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Still, our theme is prayer, but a little bit different today. There's also a message outline provided for you in your bulletin, which you can follow along with. October 22nd was a day that none of us will soon forget. A tragic day in our nation's capital. And on that day, Corporal Nathan Cirillo was gunned down as he stood at our nation's memorial in Ottawa. And this week, I think some of you probably saw the interviews with the other person who was standing on guard with him that day, Corporal Braden Stevenson. Amazing interview. Thankfully, Corporal Stevenson wasn't injured that day, but I was shocked to see that he was back to work at his post on Monday. Are you kidding me? And I started to think, how is this possible? Why is this possible? Why is he there? Why is he doing that? And I started to think, well, I saw the interview. And he shared the fact that Corporal Cirillo was not only a good friend of his, they were in grade 9 together and have been together ever since. He refers to him as a brother, that they're that close. They were like brothers together. And so how does he set aside his grief and all the difficult memories of that day and end up as post on Monday? Love, I think. A love for his nation, a love for his fallen friend, and a love for the call on his life to represent our nation. Corporal Nathan Cirillo paid the ultimate price for our nation. And while that was such and continues to be such a dark hour, I think that already light has emerged from that darkness in this year's attention that is being paid to our nation and the value of freedom and those who protect us. And these are values and things we must never forget as people and as a nation. In John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." That's exactly what Nathan Cirillo did. He laid down his life for those that mattered to him and to his nation. Another person, and we've heard it already today, the greatest example of this kind of sacrifice is Jesus himself, who laid down his life in love for us. Love was the central theme of his life. Everything he taught, everything he did, the emotions he expressed to people, love was at the very center of it all. In fact, one day Jesus is walking along and some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, who he was not very fond of and they weren't very fond of him, two of them came up and one of them said, "Hey, teacher, tell us something. What's the greatest commandment?" You remember that? It was a trick question. They thought they could get him, but he was ready for that. And how did he respond? His words are recorded in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than this." Jesus says, let me give you the cliff notes. Let me give you the Reader's Digest version. If we take everything and we put it together, if you want just one thing to live by, let me give you two things. He says, first of all, love God. First and foremost, the greatest commandment is that we are to love God. And secondly, we are then to love each other. And the loving of each other is not only those within the safe boundaries of our life, the people sitting next to you or the people in your family, the people who are easy to love. But loving others is much bigger than that. It's loving all. People outside these walls, outside our safety zone, loving people, loving God and loving people. And as a church, we are committed to that. We gather here on weekends, and we've been doing some of that today. We've loved God by raising our voices and praise and acknowledging Him for who He is and what He's done for us, expressing our thanks and praise to Him. That's loving God, but it doesn't stop there. When we leave today, as a congregation, I hope that you're challenged every single week that when you walk through these doors and out into our world, the loving just begins at that point. This is when we love the unlovely. This is when we care for others with kindness, justice, practical help, encouraging words, empathy, care, and compassion. We want to be rivers of life that flow to our city and beyond every day and every week. And so there's all kinds of things that we can do to love people, but I want to throw one more thing into the mix, and this is kind of the point I'm making today, is that one of the greatest and most important expressions of our love, in addition to our actions and things we can do, is prayer. Prayer is the way that we show that we love people. We take time to focus on them, take them to God, pray for them, represent them to God, pray for others, their difficulties and their challenges. And that's exactly what's mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 2 here. Let me read for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. And so the part I just want to focus on for a second is this. I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all people, kings and those in authority. Prayer is important. Now, to put this in context, the Apostle Paul is writing. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. What would have been terrible circumstances. He was awaiting his last appeal before the emperor. You know who the emperor was? Any history students at that time? Nero, not a nice man. If you've studied history, you know that this is one of the most brutal men who ever had a leadership position in the entire world, in any place and in any space. And so Paul is writing this letter. This is actually a letter that will be hand carried to an understudy of his by the name of Timothy. Paul knows his life is nearing an end. He's got one appeal left. He knows it's not going to work. He knows he's going to be executed. And so he's writing Timothy to say, hey, Timothy, let me just remind you of the things that are really important. And he starts and he says there, I urge you, and first of all, so we know that this is important. So in your outline, if you're following along, the first point I want to make is this. It's about the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer, making prayer a priority in our lives. Paul says to Timothy, I urge you. Then first of all, so there's urgency saying, Timothy, listen, get close. Underline this in the letter. This is really important. If there's one thing I want to put at the top of the list, it's this, it's prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer needs to be a priority in our life. Jesus prayed all the time. Isn't it interesting that every time he faced challenges, crisis, difficulties in life, what did he do? He went to the Father and he prayed. It was so important to him. And his prayers were so powerful and they made such a difference in his life and in the life of others that the disciples came to him one day and said, hey, and these were guys who knew how to, these were good Jewish boys. They knew how to pray. They'd been raised praying. It's not they didn't know how to pray. They wanted to pray like he prayed. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does he do? He gives them what most of us know as the Lord's Prayer. That's what we've been studying through this series. But the point I want to make is this, is prayer needs to be a priority. If it was a priority in the life of Christ, it should be a priority in our life as well. What role does prayer play in your life? We won't ask for hands or anything, but if you did a survey, some of you would say, oh, I pray frequently. Some would say, oh, sometimes. Some would say, I'm a 911 specialist. Those are good, by the way. Don't ever discredit 911 prayers. So if we do get some freezing weather and some ice and snow in a few weeks, hopefully it's a few weeks out there, but you're the first time you're driving, you hit the brakes and you go, oh, I forgot about this. This is what sliding feels like. And your car starts to slide down the hill. That's a good time to pray the 911 prayer. You know, God help me, because I might be standing at the bottom of that hill too. So please do that. But so the first point is prayer is a priority, and I want to challenge you with this prayer. What role does prayer play in your life? Is it a priority? And I encourage you to make it a priority in your life. Secondly, he goes on to say in the text, I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. He gives the components of prayer here, or we could call it the anatomy of prayer. What prayer can look like. Now, this list was never intended to be all-inclusive. We know that because there are other elements of prayer that the Bible talks about that aren't included in here, like confession and some other things. But these were things that were really important that he wanted Timothy to hear. So what is petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving? If we're supposed to pray this way for all people, for kings and those in authority over us, well, we should understand what it means. What does this mean? How do we pray for them? Well, the first thing, petitions, if you look at the original language and you look at the word petitions, it's very strong and it means to plead on one's behalf. It means to reach the emotional place where you get right down with this person. You don't have to be with them, but you're down into their situation, into their struggle, into their trouble, into the place where they need an answer to a question. And you're pleading with God on their behalf. That's the first part here, petition. Intercession. Intercession literally means to stand in the gap. So to represent this person, maybe you have more time on a certain day than they do, so you can literally stand in the gap for them and pray, Heavenly Father, be with our mayor today. You know, he needs your help today. He's got important decisions to make. There's pressure on him. So those are the kind of prayers that we should be praying, prayers of intercession. And then he says thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is really, really, really important. And just let me say that as Canadians, we should never only celebrate Thanksgiving one week into the year. Because on our worst day, on your worst day, you still have more to be thankful for than the vast majority of our world. It's absolutely true. And I'm not underplaying the difficulties and the challenges that all of us face, because we all do. But in the midst of our challenging circumstances, we need to give thanks. The Apostle Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. Now, be careful. He doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances, because that would be ridiculous. We never would want to give, thanks for a terminal illness or the loss of a loved one. That's not what it's talking about. But in the circumstances, in the loss, in the difficulty, we can still say, God, I am still thankful for all that I have, because on my worst day, I have much to be thankful for. And as Canadians, we certainly do. So thankfulness, as we pray, thankfulness should be part of our prayers, thanking God for those that we're praying for and what he has done in their life. And then if the verbs are petition, intercession, thanksgiving, so what's the subject of this verse that we have here? He goes on to say, so pray for all people, for kings and for all in authority. We are told that we're specifically to pray for those in authority over us, and thus the reason for the invitation and the reason that we are honoring you today, because we feel that God is calling us to do this in your life. We're thankful for all that you do for us, and we also recognize that God has given us a responsibility. Us a responsibility to honor, respect, and pray for you. Opposition is part of the political system. In democracy, opposition is important because it helps to keep the blade of the knife sharp. At least that is how it's supposed to work, and I think usually does. And so opposition is important, and thankfully we have, when you pray for our leaders, you should also be praying for leaders in opposition, by the way. That's an important thing too. But let me say this, is that one of the things that tires me at times is I have seen that some people, and sometimes some people who are followers of Christ, they believe that it is their call in life to become the official opposition on certain issues. And while we need to participate, we need to be active in government and all those kinds of things. We need to recognize that that's not the first call in our life as believers. Our first call is to respect, to obey, to pray for those who are in authority over us. Social media is I don't mind it. I kind of like it, but there's things about it I don't like. Over the last couple of years, I've been plagued at times by someone who is posting on Facebook. They're someone I knew abroad, overseas. They're from another country to the south, and they are a very committed follower of Christ, but they're also very politically driven. And so they make a habit of posting some of the most hateful information I've ever read in my life. They don't make it up. They just take it from other people and they post it. And it's you know, attacking the president, attacking this, attacking. And last year I got so frustrated with it that I finally had to do something, and I probably got dismembered, but no, disfriended. I think I got disfriended. And so in a text I wrote, first of all, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, I reminded them that it says there, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And I reminded them that I know as an American, you think you elected your president, but this verse says that God probably had something to do with him being in control of your nation right now. Make sure you pray for him. And then I went to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, submit yourself to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor or to the supreme authority or the governors. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, this is Peter now. Peter was going to die a few years later, a very troubling death at the hand of the emperor Nero. He would be crucified upside down. And yet in his words, he reminds people that that's who was in control. When he says pray for the emperor, that's who was in control in his life. And so despite the horror and all the things, he still knew that he had a role to play in praying for this person. And that was what he did. So I reminded my friends that that before they say anything or attack, they should be not using hatred, but using love and also praying for people. So, well, that one last thing I want to say, and that's, what's the importance of prayer? What's the importance of prayer? Why is it important? And just before I do that, let me talk about our nation and the role of prayer. Prayer has played a tremendous role in the formation of our nation from the very beginning. If you go back and read some of the records, prayer was a pretty significant thing in the foundation of our nation. If you walk through our parliament, the parliamentary buildings, you will discover that on several places, I think three or four places, there are scripture passages that are literally listed there. And in fact, he will have dominion from sea to sea, which is part of our, I think it's our motto in Canada, actually comes from Psalm chapter 72, pardon me. And so prayer still plays a role in our parliament at times. And, you know, there are prayer breakfasts across our nation. Prayer is an important part of what happens in our nation. But why is it important and why are we focusing on it today? First of all, prayer accesses the power of God on behalf of others. And so one of the things that we can do, while there are those who have been assigned to protect and lead us, one of the things we can do to have their back is we can pray for them. Pray for success, pray for wisdom, pray for discernment, pray for protection, all of those kind of things, because prayer accesses the power of God on behalf of others. We can try to work directly with the Prime Minister or an MP or an MLA or the Premier or the Mayor, all alder people or other things, and we can do that, but the effects we can have are probably quite limited. But prayer accesses the power of God. It's one of the most significant things you can do for our leaders and our protectors. And so, church, I encourage you to do that. Secondly, let me say that prayer is the easiest step of love you can have. You can do it before you get out of bed in the morning. It doesn't require you to expend any physical energy, really. It doesn't require you to make a financial contribution. Prayer is something that you can do for our leaders and protectors. And I encourage you to do that because it's there for you. You can do it on your way to work, in your car. You can pray for people as they come to your mind during the day. Let's be people of prayer who remember those who represent us and protect us. And finally, prayer is more effective than anything else we can do. We can try to motivate and shift and change and bring change through certain actions, but we're really limited in what we can do, to be honest. But prayer is more effective than anything else we can do. It does change things. It does make a difference. Years ago, before we had satellites, television was limited. It was kind of line of sight, right? Receivers sent message, or senders sent messages to receivers, and it made it to your TV set eventually. But it could go maybe across Canada. That was about it when it first came out. But then satellites came in. And we found what we could do is, if we could hit a satellite, then the satellite could beam it all out in a broader direction, have a much greater effect, and literally go around the globe. That's a lot like prayer. That's a lot like prayer. If we try to do things on our own and our actions and try to make change, we're kind of limited in the scope and the impact that we can really have. But if we connect with God and allow Him to do His work in the lives of others, in our nation, and around our world, it makes a big difference. And so, church, I want to challenge you. I know that this is a praying church, but I want to challenge you to become people of prayer that will pray for those that God has placed in authority over us, those who protect us, those who govern us. And so I encourage you to pray. Worship team, would you please come? As the worship team comes, praying we are going to do. I'm going to invite Kevin, would you please come up?
Yes, we'd be honored if our elected people and everyone in this church who works as a protector of the public would consider standing so that we can pray for you. If you're not comfortable, don't stand, but we invite you to do that now. Please join me. Father God, we come before you to ask your blessing on our elected leaders and on the people who work to protect the public across Canada, in the provinces and the communities of this great country. We ask also specifically for your blessing on the people we have had the privilege of electing to represent us here in Kamloops and the Thompson-Nicola Regional District, and for the members of the RCMP, Kamloops Fire and Rescue, Rocky Mountain Rangers, BC Ambulance Service, and the civil servants throughout our city and our constituencies. Thank you that there are wonderful people committed to enter every workday knowing that they may have to face great personal peril, whether by deliberate attack, motor vehicle hazards, dangerous weather, road conditions, many situations. We grieve for the two Canadian soldiers whose lives were taken in Quebec and Ottawa recently, and ask that you will continue to comfort their families and friends. Thank you for the outpouring of love and compassion by Canadians for those soldiers from the moment of their injuries and ever since. Thank you for the courage of Canadians who will run into danger rather than away from it to help others, as we saw when these crimes occurred. Thank you for the commitment and dedication of our elected leaders and for those who choose to spend their lives protecting and defending the public and our communities. Lord, we know that elected people must deal with many personal challenges in performing their duties, long absences from their spouses, families, and friends, many special occasions missed, the rigors and dangers of frequent travel, often harsh criticism, discouragement, doubts, and friction with those around them. Many of these challenges are common to those serving in defenders' roles also, whether police officers, military personnel, paramedics, healthcare professionals, or members of the many branches of our civil service. We lift them up to you right now as we seek to honor, express support, and show our gratitude for all who labor for the good of the public in these roles. We ask that you guard and protect them and give them a keen awareness that they are appreciated and loved. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.